Well, happy Father's Day. Open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the perfect design for fatherhood. You've given us the directions. In fact, it was your idea. It was your idea. Your heart to be a father created Adam. Did you know that? It was the father's heart that created Adam. He wanted a child. He created the sun, moon, stars, universe, the heavens, all the planets, everything out there. Put this earth right there. And everything rotates on this perfect axis. And this earth spins at just the right angle, at just the right speed. And it's at just the right distance from the sun. Everything is just perfect to support life. And on that place, he made a garden with everything that man needed. And then he created his man. Amen? Everything revolves around our Father and his heart for us. His desire for you is to know how much he loves you. That's his design for men as fathers, is to love their children. Amen? One of the biggest challenges that I see people have is they try to compare their earthly father with their heavenly father, and the limits of their relationship with their heavenly father is defined by what their earthly father was like. And it's a real challenge with some people. You need to just stop. Some people had a wonderful father and some people not so much. But when you get born again, you get a new one. You get the best one. Amen? You get the best one. Nothing can be any better. But he's given us some directions for our kids. How to deal with those. You know, I've known people that the only reason they went to their earthly dad's funeral was just to make sure they put dirt on him. Make sure he didn't come up out of that hole. Well, sometimes there's been dads that were so miserable to their kids that their kids didn't have anything but hate in their heart for them. Now you see why it's such a challenge for some people when they start finding out about our Father God. And then they wonder why, if God is so wonderful, then why did he let these things happen to me? He didn't let them happen to you. Yeah? He saved you from that, and if you'll let him, he will heal the scars on your heart. And he'll mend your shattered soul. But you have to let him do it. Amen? Now, over here to Genesis chapter 49. If you want to find out how things are supposed to be, you need to go to the beginning. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. It says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So, we're going to be dealing with Judah, the Messiah. We talked about the Messiah right there, till the scepter come. Shiloh, the Messiah. That's when the gathering of the people happens. You realize that Jesus is going to bring us together, the church, together, in the unity of the faith, not our doctrine, in the unity of the faith. And he's going to bring as many people that are lost to him too. He wants a big family. Regardless of what some people may say, not everybody is a child of God. Not everybody is a child of God. You don't get to be a child of God just because you was born in America. You don't get to be a child of God just because grandma went to church for 75 years, mama went to church for 45 years, and now you went to church for 20. You get to be a child of God because you said, "I believe that God raised Jesus back to life, and I confess this day him to be Lord." Amen? That's what the Bible says. That's how you get to be a child of God. Amen? That makes a lot of people mad. But I make a lot of people foam at the mouth. I don't care. I don't care. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Amen? Look down here to verse 25. It says, "Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breath and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren." He talks about blessing six times. He's blessing Joseph. He's blessing. There's the first sign of somebody blessing somebody. You know, Melchizedek, later on, after Abraham had already cut a covenant with God and went walking through this fellowship with him for a while, Melchizedek came and blessed him and said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." Blessing. We're talking about blessings. We need to receive the blessings of our Father. He's given them to us. We need to receive them. Now, God wants us to impart His blessings to our children. How about that? Verse 22 says, "Joseph." I just got to hang on. Just 1 second. You may have been separated from your kid through a bad relationship or whatever it may be, but you can still bless your child. You can bless your child because the Word of God knows no distance and no time. When you bless your child, do it in faith and send that word to him and be the blessing father that you were designed to be. Maybe you didn't get a chance to be, but bless him anyway. In Jesus' name. That's a freebie for whoever receives it. All right. Verse 22 says, "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and aided him, but his bough abode in strength, and arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the Almighty God of Jacob. From hence is a shepherd, the stone of Israel. even by the God of thy fathers, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed. Bless, bless, bless. This is God's heart, your father, to bless. That's his heart, to bless his children. And he wants that heart to be in you. God wants to impart his blessings to our children. He wants us to impart them blessings. They don't even have to be your kids. You can bless them. You know, we've had a lot of kids. We'd babysit and we'd bless them, promote them. In these verses, it shows us four ways that we can bless our children. Isn't that cool? God always gives us directions. Directions how to live. Now he's giving us directions how to bless our kids. You pay attention to this. You bless your kids every day. There's something about the Jewish people, the ones that are following this, their kids come in, they bless them. Their kids go out, they bless them. They bless their kids all the time. They tell them about the Deuteronomy blessings. They tell them they're blessed in the city, they're blessed in the field, they're blessed coming in, they're blessed going out. They bless them all the time. Those ones that have been under that all their life, you cannot ever convince them that God hurt them. Because they know who the blesser is. They know he's the blesser. The first way to bless your children is to help them interpret life in light of God's perspective. You know, I don't think we'd have these Antifa brats running around today if their parents would have set them down and went through the Bible with them a little bit and tried to explain how life works according to God's way of doing things. I don't think that would have happened. We wouldn't have kids running around thinking that we evolved from monkeys. They'd understand that we were created in the garden. Amen? Even Joseph, when he was imprisoned falsely, he was accused and forgotten. Joseph considered himself blessed because God was with him. Isn't that quite an attitude? Had nothing left. Separated from his family, from his friends, in a foreign land, in prison, naked in prison and alone, but he considered himself to be blessed because God was with him. You know, I read an account of a guy. He got a hold of the Word of God, and he got to be a very successful oil man. Had lots of money. I mean, and blessings were just flowing in his life, and things were rolling. And in the blink of an eye, he was broke. Somebody said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to do the same thing I did yesterday. God got me rich. He'll get me rich again." So his blessings were not dependent on his money or anything in the economy. His blessings were dependent on God. So it didn't ruin his life when the oil field was destroyed overnight. And then he was okay. I was blessed before the oil field happened. I'm still blessed. I'm going to be blessed tomorrow. Because God was with him. John chapter 15, you know, I turned there, but it teaches us the lesson of fruitfulness, not success. This is important. You need to get a hold of this. Success is a worldly idea. Fruitfulness is a godly idea. Success is man-centered. Fruitfulness is God-centered. We set goals and we have ambitions and everything, and we like to reach those goals, but the important thing is, what happens to a lot of people, they get this in their head that they reach this goal and they want people to look at me. Look what I did. Look what I did. Amen. But to be fruitful-minded means, you know, God's going to use me along my path. He's going to use me in this journey. And I'm not going to miss the forest for the trees. On my way to wherever it is I'm going, I'm going to see how much good I can do in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to see how much havoc I can do to the kingdom of darkness. You get that attitude, things get different. Amen? It gets more fun. I can tell you, there's nothing more gratifying in your heart. I got to tell a story. It was just too cool. But I was happy. I was a happy guy. And I was at the racetrack, and I had horses, and I needed help. I needed people to ride horses for me, you know. And there was this one guy. He wouldn't even talk to me. He'd growl at me. He stayed 50 yards away from me if he could. And finally, one day, he come over to my barn and said, "Somebody said you need somebody to ride horses." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Are you high?" "No." He said, "Nobody can smile like that all the time without being on heroin." I said, "Wait." So he sat down. He said, "I'll ride your horses." I said, "Okay." And he started riding my horses. Next thing you know, he's born again. He's getting water baptized. He told me, "You know, those guys I used to ride for said my bed was blocks of cocaine. So when you water baptize me, it's going to take two people because I have to keep my ears plugged. And one of you closed my nose because he'd snorted so much cocaine that it ate out his canals there and it'd go and rush into him. And so he had to have all that plugged up. Do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. Eh? Plunder hell and populate heaven. That's being fruitful minded. Amen? Now, let's get it back here. I chased that rabbit as far as I can. The second part of that first lesson is the lesson of strength. Strength comes from the Lord through prayer. We lay hold of God's resources through prayer. When you get full of the Word, prayer will become easy. Well, teach your children how to pray. But this is how they're going to learn. You've heard monkey see, monkey do? You heard people say, your children are going to do what you do, not what you say? Do the right thing. One of the neatest things, we had little Anastasia with us for a long time, and she's around us a lot. And I noticed that she would just do what I did. So I made it a point to make sure she'd seen me pray. So her teachers were shocked when her friends would crash on the playground. She'd go there, lay hands on them, and plead the blood of Jesus over them, pray for them. The teachers would call crying. Say, what's going on? Should be the normal thing. That should be all the kids. All the kids should be bold enough to go over there and pray. The next thing is trials. We talked a little bit about that this morning. A godly life does not mean a life without trials. Following God has its benefits and struggles. We don't follow God for what we get out of it. We follow Him because of who He is. And you got to know that there's going to be people that will attack you because of your faith. Around here, they're yellow-bellied enough that they won't just attack you directly, but they'll attack the institution from afar. Amen? They'll try to cause trouble. There is a devil running around out there, and he hates people. He particularly hates Christians. He really hates anointed ones. I got a kick out when I was first in ministry and I was wanting to do something. These people would call me and they'd say, "Can you go over to this place or that place and minister to these people?" And I said, "Yeah, I can do that." And I got to noticing that some of these places that I was going into were some pretty rough areas. I also started noticing that if there was a chance for a bloody nose, I was going in there. These other guys didn't want to deal with it. But I go in there and we'd have a rocking good time, man. It was fun. It was like the adrenaline. It'd kick in and I'd get in there and we'd minister to these people. One time I was in a house, I just walked in there and started preaching to these guys. And these guys looking at me, their eyes were about that big. And I thought, man, why are these guys so freaked out? And I kept preaching, and this girl behind me, she was just like in total shock. And I got to looking around, there's pot plants all over the place. Evidently, they weren't quite ready for Jesus' meeting. But they got one. The second lesson we can teach our kids is to walk in personal reality with God. Every kid needs to have a personal reality of Jesus. Their own personal reality. See, this is what's going to surface. What's going to surface in your kid when he gets to college is what's been put into him. What's going to surface in your kid when he gets out into the world is what's been put into him. Let's look at Genesis 31, chapter 5. And here's another thing. If nothing gets put in there, somebody's going to put something in there. Somebody's going to put something in there, and you're probably not going to like what gets in there. So you just will fill that kid up with as much as you can before he gets out of your reach. 31 verse 5 says, "He said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me." The God of my father has been with me. He had a personal revelation of his God. Now go back over to Genesis chapter 49, verse 24. Genesis chapter 49, verse 24. says, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from whence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven, above blessings of the deep, that lieth under blessings of the breast of the womb. See, these guys went from the God of my father to my God. You got to ask yourself, who is God to you? See, Jesus asked Peter, said, who do the people say that I am? They said, one of the prophets, or Elias, and all these different things. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. What happened? Peter had a revelation of God in his heart, who he was. He got it in his heart. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter, because you didn't receive that from man, but you received that from the Father. Got a revelation of who God was. That's what we need to impart to people. One time we took care of a little kid, and she was just a bitty, but Connie gave her a cross. And we had her for a few days, and then when Mom came to get her, she went up to her mom and said, this means Jesus loves me. It's not too early for them to get revelation in their heart of who Jesus is. Amen? It's not too early to start teaching your kids. It's never too early. The third thing we can do is observe their strengths and point them out. Promote them. Build them up. Build them up on their strengths. And then help them with their weaknesses. So show them. Here's the most important thing is to know your child. What has God blessed them with? They were uniquely created by God, not molded by you. I remember my niece, when she started getting old enough to start playing baseball, she got out there and she was trying to bat left-handed. And we said, no, that's not right. You bat right-handed. That's how everybody does it. You bat right-handed. We didn't know anything. Your kids are uniquely created by God. Find out their blessings and promote them in their blessings. Amen? The next thing we can do is recognize the importance of a father's word. Your words, your tongue, plays as big a role in the raising of your kids as anything. Your words can build up and your words can tear down. How many of you ever heard your kids cuss? Where did they hear that at? You know what's really cool? When you see a kid bless. That humbles you. Because then you sit there and you think, they really are listening. They're listening to every word you say. Good or bad. people don't realize just how destructive their words really are. I know people that have accepted the limitations of what people put on them through their destructive words. And some of them may never get out of it. It's a challenge. But it takes the Word of God. And you got to find yourself in the Bible. But once you find yourself in the Bible, then you can go forward. You can get free. We'll finish up here. Impart to your children spiritual blessings. Maybe your earthly father didn't bless you, but your heavenly father did. Deuteronomy chapter 28 shows those blessings, and you can lay hands on your kids and you can bless them. Even if they're 2,000 miles away, you can stretch forth your hand and you can read those blessings out of the Bible to your kids. Amen? The Word knows no time or distance. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your Word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that when your Word gets in our hearts, that it produces for you in your kingdom some 30, some 60, some hundredfold return on your Word. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we have a lot of good food back here in the fellowship, and everybody's welcome to come back and have some.